Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. Advent means preparing. Preparing our hearts and minds for Christmas, preparing our hearts and minds for the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, preparing to celebrate God's love for all people. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Christmas is God sending down his Son in human form to be your Savior and to be mine. During Advent, we say, "He has come, he continues to come, he will come again." He has come. Jesus Christ did come into the world. He was born in Bethlehem to be your Savior and mine. He continues to come. God comes to us in word and sacrament as he sends the Holy Spirit into our lives as we continue to enjoy the blessings of being God's people in this world. He keeps his promise and says, "Lo, I am with you always." And he will come again. Jesus Christ will one day come and claim all believers who are left alive and take us to be with him forever in heaven. Jesus will proclaim us not guilty, and we will live forever with God in heaven. So again, we say he has come, he wants to continue to come to you, and he will come for you again. So what do we do with the Advent season? How do you and I prepare? Same answer we always have. We go about the business of building up our own faith and then trying to share that faith with the world around us, trying to put our faith into action. In 2021, in the midst of an ongoing pandemic, in the midst of economic uncertainty, in a time when it seems like the world is turning morals upside down, we need to put our faith in Jesus Christ into action and touch the world in which we live. I chose what you might think is a strange text for an Advent Sunday. I chose, as you know from the Old Testament, to talk about Jacob. Jacob was the father of 12 sons, the 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob, one of the ancestors of David, one of the Messiah's ancestors, was one of those sons. A while back, I took a renewed interest in the 12 sons of Jacob, who are Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. I took a renewed list because that last one, Asher, is the name of my grandson here in Lexington. Asher means highly favored, fortunate, blessed, happy. And Asher, who turned 10 recently, truly is a source of joy and happiness, one of Susan and I's great joys in life. So again, Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. In fact, that's another name for Jacob. He's called Israel. Do you know that the modern state of Israel's name comes from Jacob? Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes. Well, why did I choose to talk about Jacob today? Wednesday night, if you were here, you heard me talking about putting the I in Christmas, putting ourselves into the Christmas story, making sure that we are prepared to welcome the Christ child. But today, I'm going to tell you something slightly different and say you have to be careful as you put yourself in Christmas. We need to be putting ourselves into God's plan for our lives. I sometimes wonder if people misspeak the Lord's Prayer. Listen and see if you catch what I'm talking about, and this is the way I think some people say it. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. My will be done on earth." Did you catch it? "My will be done." I don't think most people would say that purposely, but I think subconsciously a lot of people, that's where they're at in their lives, in this world, in their relationship with God. "My will ought to be done." So Jacob is a powerful object lesson for us, as we're going to talk about, as we see what happens when you get out of the will of God and do your own thing. We'll see that there are consequences to our sin when we follow our own path and disobey God. And I think this is a message that I certainly need to hear, but the world of 2021 needs to hear. Before her twins were born, God promised Rebekah, Jacob's mother, that the younger of the two twins would rule over the older. Here's how it read in Genesis 25. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." Rebekah heard that her younger twin, Jacob, was to be favored, and so she began to love him more than she loved Esau. I don't know if it's because of that, but then Esau began to really relate to and love, or Isaac began to love Esau more than Jacob. There was envy and strife between these two, and it came to a head when Isaac got old. Isaac thought he might die at any time, so he needed to give the blessing to his son. So he told Esau, "Go and hunt that game that I like so much. Bring it back, fix me a meal, and come and be blessed. Get the blessing reserved for the oldest son." Well, Rebekah overhears this, and she's upset because she knows what Isaac is about to do is against what God had said should happen. And here's what I think Rebekah sort of said: God can't handle this. I better intervene. God can't handle this and do what he said he'll do. I better make sure it happens. That's not what she said. It's not recorded in Scripture, but I think that's what she was thinking. So she says, "Jacob, go get a goat, couple of goats out of the flock. I'll cook it in a spicy way and we'll give it to your father." She dresses him up in his brother's clothes. She puts the skin, probably the soft underbelly of a goat, on his forearm so he'll appear hairy. An old, nearly blind Isaac says, "Who is it? Sounds like Jacob, but smells like Esau." Jacob answers that it's Esau. He even uses God to back up his lie when he said, "Well, how did you get the game so quickly out hunting?" And he said, "God brought it to me." Well, Isaac eats a meal and he blesses Jacob with the blessing, but then Esau shows up. And Esau is angry. He finds his brother has tricked him, his father has given the blessing that he thought he deserved. He feels like Joseph has stolen his birthright. He's so angry that Rebekah says to Joseph, "You better go away and hide for a while. Go to Uncle Laban." She's afraid Esau will literally kill him. Now note carefully what happens here when Rebekah got out of God's will and decided she needed to do it herself. Why did this whole thing happen? She loves Jacob. She loves being with him. She wants him to be blessed. She wants only the best for her son, but because of her actions, he has to be sent away. She loses her son. I don't know how long she thought he would have to go away, but the reality is she never saw her son again. She would be dead when Jacob finally returned to the promised land. I think we should pause and take a life lesson here. Isaac disobeys, and there's consequences for his action as one son becomes angry with the other. And so he loses his son Jacob, who goes away, and he's sort of disenfranchised, if you will, from the other son who's angry with him for being tricked. Rebekah justified her actions and said, "Well, it's what God wanted." But she ended up losing her beloved son, and surely she must have been a little bit estranged from Esau, and I suspect her husband was a little angry too. Jacob lied and deceived his father, so he ends up losing his father and his mother and a brother and has to run away to his uncle. There's so much more we could say about this. But you see what happened when they got out of the will of God? When they said, I know what God wants, but God doesn't seem to be doing it right. I'll fix it. God still loved them. God wouldn't give up on them. He would bless them in the future, but there were consequences for their actions. Well, what else happens to Jacob? You recall from Sunday school, he flees to his uncle Laban, and Laban ends up cheating him. God blessed Jacob. He blessed Laban because he was taking care of Jacob, but Laban is dishonest. Jacob falls in love with Laban's daughter, with Rachel. He says, I'll work 7 years if you let me marry your daughter. Laban agrees. Jacob works 7 years. On the wedding night, a veiled woman comes into Jacob's tent, and it's his sister, Rachel's sister Leah, not Rachel. Jacob was tricked by his brother and lied to his father. Now he's tricked and lied to. So Jacob works 7 more years to earn Rachel. But he has 2 wives now. That's a mistake enough, but he now loves one more than he loves the other. And you can imagine what happened. And the family storyline gets even more complicated. Each of the wives eventually says, take my maid as another wife so I can have children by her. He ends up with 4 wives and 12 sons. And you can imagine some of the strife and the anxiety and the family bickering that went on. Jacob made a deal with Laban. Said, your wages will be the striped ones in the flock, or the spotted ones, or the black-colored ones instead of the white ones, etc. Laban kept changing the deal because God blessed him. Jacob always came out ahead. Finally, Jacob says, I've had enough. I'm taking my family. I'm going back to the land of Israel. 20 years have passed. 20 years. Think of all that Jacob had to go through because he wasn't willing to wait patiently for the Lord and took things into his own hands with the help of his mother. Think of the heartache and suffering. Think of missing the mother who loved him so much, of missing his father, and probably even missing his brother Esau. God stayed with him. God blessed him in spite of his failures, but he had to pay some terrible consequences for his sin. We could talk a long time about all the mistakes made and the consequences. I'm sure we would agree they sort of got what they deserved for the way they acted. But let's note something very, very well. God kept blessing Jacob even as he sinned. God was faithful to Jacob even when Jacob was not faithful to him. God blessed him with flocks and herds and wealth and gave him 12 sons. It's another sermon to talk about how he went on to make the same mistake and favored his son Joseph over the other 11 sons. Jacob was a sinner, lost and condemned on his own, weak and sinful, and yet God was faithful and blessed him. You and I may not make the mistakes that Jacob did, but we've made and will continue to make mistakes in our lifetime. And make no mistake, God is not happy when we sin. God does not simply overlook sin. There may be earthly consequences that we have to suffer, but hear loudly and clearly that God loves you and forgives you. That's the whole story of Christmas. God loved us in spite of our sin and sent Jesus to be our Savior. Ultimately, God gives us the gift of eternal life, not because we've earned it or deserve it, but because His Son Jesus paid the price of sin once for all time. Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem, became the Savior of the whole world. And this morning, He would like you to hear, He's your Savior. Your own personal Savior that wants to help you deal with whatever's happening in your life and wants to be with you every day that you live. Advent is heeding the call of John the Baptist that we heard in the gospel lesson and repenting of our sin and saying, God, I'm sorry, I'm not the person I want to be. I'm not the person you want to be. But turning away from that sin, I thank you that you sent the Messiah, the Savior, to pay the price of that sin. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us try to walk close to the commands of God in our lives. Let's seek what is the Lord's will. Not what is my will, but what does the Lord want me to do with my life? How does he want me to live it? Whose lives does he want me to touch? Let us obey God's word. Let us celebrate that he has come into the world to be our Savior, that he wants to come to you right now, today, and the rest of this week, and that he'll be with you for the rest of your life and one day claim you for all eternity. We live in a fallen and sinful world. We ourselves are fallen and sinful people, but God loved us enough to send Jesus to be the Messiah, the Savior of your sin. May our Advent season, our Christmas preparation, be blessed as we focus on Jesus Christ and we say humbly, Lord, forgive me my sin and show me your way. Lead me in your paths. Let me be one of your people. Let us walk the paths God has prepared for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.